Where is the supernatural? I'm glad you asked. You want to see some? Matthew chapter 8. We are doing some work at our house or some things that desperately need attention at the Hadley home. Some of you are pretty good with the nails and the saws. Not this guy. So we had somebody over to our house giving us an estimate on some work that we needed to be done. And he was looking around and kind of taking the measurements and doing what he was doing. And then we were sitting around the table and he was going over some of his numbers. Both Nicole and I were going, there's something about this guy. As it turns out, he is from Russia. He's early 20s, lives in Sacramento. There's a tremendous Slavic community in Sacramento. His parents, his dad specifically, they lived not too far outside of Moscow. And his dad was jailed. Did you hear what I said, right? Thrown in jail because he got caught talking about Jesus Christ. This was before Glasnost and all of that. So when the wall came down in Berlin, and of course there was Yeltsin climbing aboard that tank, etc., there was a window of opportunity that this man, I forget how many siblings he had. Was it 8 siblings?
He's one of 11.
Dad said, we're going to seize this opportunity. And he sold everything they had. And they somehow got passage to America and ended up living there in Sacramento. His dad was jailed for telling people about Jesus Christ of the Bible. So this young man began to share, and he said, so I kind of walked on the wild side when I grew up, you know, I went to the whole liberal thing, and then I kind of went to the other side, I went to the more way conservative side, and now I think I'm kind of swinging somewhere in the middle. He didn't use the word Bapticostal, but I think that's what he meant. Here's a kid who makes the trek from Sacramento over to Reno a couple times a week, and he says, you know what I do is I listen to Bible teachings. We begin to talk about the Bible, we begin to talk about Jesus. He was saying, so what do you think about spiritual gifts? Is it for today? And I said, honey, tell him. Nicole shared her story. Years ago, we were fasting. We were going to a little home fellowship and fasting and praying for one of the guys in this home fellowship. He was under the grips of tremendous alcoholism, comes from generation after generation after generation of alcoholism. So we begin to pray, we begin to fast. Nicole's in the grocery store, Albertsons at the time.
Scolari's,
pardon me. She was at Scolari's, I want to get my facts straight. She's picking out a card, she hears a voice behind her, a diminutive little gal. I paid for that. Okay, says Nicole. No, I paid for that. Okay. And then she turned around, Nicole did, and she saw the pupils of her eyes dilate. And her voice dropped several octaves, salivating, dripping, talking in a very deep voice. You can't have him, and named who we were fasting and praying for by name. You can't have him. And then Nicole can tell you more of the story. And then Nicole basically says, help. Many of the young clerks came by, and the lady was obviously out of control and began to never touch Nicole, but was cursing horrible. Oh, we know about you. We know about your husband. You were pregnant at the time.
Church, your
about your church, your God, naming as if the demons were reading our mail. It was supernatural. And as the young man was listening to Nicole, he's all, whoa. So then we went on to talk about, yes, we believe with all of our heart. Why? Because we have seen it. And many of you in this room have seen supernatural power of the Lord visited on our lives. And if you're with us here this morning, and maybe you are along because you were promised the big stack at IHOP, that's okay, but I'm glad you're here. Because for the next 3 chapters, Matthew chapter 8, 9, and 10, was Buddha right? How about Muhammad? Was he right? Was Charles Taze Russell? Was he right? Was Baha'u'llah or some 3,000 other groups that claim a certain understanding of how the heavenlies work? Jesus Christ, the founder of biblical Christianity, claimed that he is the creator of the heavens and the earth. None of those other guys I mentioned, Joseph Smith Jr. et al., none of them claimed to be the God who created the heavens and the earth. Jesus did. Well, how do we know that that's your claim is true? Here's how we know. He was killed publicly, everybody. Brutally. And in 3 days, he what? He rose from the dead. With that in mind, chapter 8, the Gospel of Matthew, verse 1. And where is the supernatural? Amen. You want to see some? Check it out. Chapter 8, verse 1. When he, Jesus, had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came. Do you know about 200 cases of leprosy reported in America every year? Leprosy is not eradicated from the planet. It's caused by a bacteria. We know that now. But back then, they didn't understand bacteria. And back then, there was no cure. Let me quote William Barclay, a wonderful and noted Bible commentator. He said this, quote, "I might begin leprosy with little nodules or pustules which go on to ulcerate and develop a foul discharge. The eyebrows fall out. The eyes become staring. The vocal cords become ulcerated and the voice becomes hoarse and breath wheezes. Often starting with the hands and feet, slowly the sufferer becomes a mass of ulcerated growths. Leprosy often begins with the loss of all sensation to an affected area. The nerve trunks are attacked by the bacteria, which diminishes nerve impulses. Muscles waste away, contracting tendons until hands are like claws. Lack of pain signals from the affected area result in repeated injuries and infections, which ultimately go unattended, leading to loss of fingers and toes and even wrists and ankles. Left untreated, the average course of leprosy is between 9 and 20 years. It is a kind of terrible, progressive death in which a man dies by inches. Horrible. And because it is a communicable disease, you can catch it. It freaked out the ancient world. So in many societies, and the Jewish society was no different, they were ostracized and commanded even in the book of Leviticus chapter 13 to live outside of the camp. That's why leprosy is a model of sin. Leviticus 13 is all about leprosy. Let me quote one little section, verse 45. Now the leper on whom this sore is, his clothes shall be torn and his head bare, and he shall cover his mustache and must cry, unclean, unclean. And the rabbis taught you couldn't get within 100 feet of such a one. Can you imagine? What's the human heart mostly built to do? To love and to be loved. The touch of the other human and the cherished parent or spouse is truly one of the most important tactile stimulations that every human craves. Imagine, suddenly, no one can even touch you. Imagine going through Walmart and yelling, unclean, unclean, and then witness the gasps of little children. And some of the Pharisees who taught, well, if you get leprosy, it's your own fault because God has smitten you. And that's where the word in Hebrew, leprosy, comes from. It means smitten. Ooh, look at you. Look at your terrible state. God must really hate you. So imagine the turned up nose and the condescending glances. Listen to what Chuck Missler says. Leprosy is a very loathsome disease. It's an inner corruption, silently dulling nerve pathways, the body's own warning system against pain, infection, and injury, until only the outward, obvious signs of corruption are noticed by all. Leprosy starts under the skin, if you will, unnoticed. And only the person who's contacted the disease kind of understands that I have dulling of the senses in some of these regions. Uh-oh, the sharp gasp of, I think I might be leprous. And then hiding that to yourself as the disease begins to expand, ultimately popping through the skin and then becoming more noticeable. Sin is a lot like that. This leper was considered worse than dead. If anyone talked to or touched them, they were ceremonially unclean. They were ostracized, separated, rejected. And you know who this leper is, everybody? This leper is me. 10 supernatural, powerful visitations of the living God are going to be visited within the notice of everybody in this region. Notice where this great outpouring starts: with a leper. Chuck Missler again, we have a disease worse than leprosy. We have a disease that God identified with leprosy in the Old Testament. We are all sinners. We have a disease that no one can cure, and only God Himself can make clean. Now, with that in mind, let's revisit our verse again. The leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord. That's the Greek word, kurios. In Hebrew, you would say, Adonai. Very likely, this man came up and said, Adonai! Now, Jews never pronounce the word Jehovah as a rule. If you're on any of the Jewish sites and any of the kosher pages or applications, you'll notice that they will never say God, as it were. They will write it as G-D. And then sometimes they will say Hashem. Hashem means the name. Adonai is one of those words that they substitute for the I am. Do you remember that's God's name? And Jews don't say that. In their place, they say Adonai. Have you ever been to a Jewish house? When you go through the door, there's a little thing in the doorpost. You know what that is? That's called the Shema. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. That is Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord, He is one. Adonai, there it is. If you go to a Seder dinner, Baruch Hashem means thank God. Steve, okay, I get it. Easy, dude. What's up with the word study? This leper was unclean. What did he have to do when he came to a crowd of people? Unclean! Unclean! And he locked right onto the eyes of our Lord. Unclean! And I bet everybody of the multitudes around Jesus split away 100 feet. Jesus didn't give an inch. And the man came up and he said, as humbly as he knew how, Adonai, the God who created the heavens and the earth. This man knew there was no cure for his ailment. He realized there was no healing unless the Hashem, Adonai, Jehovah God, would touch him. Let's keep reading. Verse 3. Then Jesus put out his hand and he what, everybody? You guys get that, right? Barclay goes on to say, never has there been any disease which so separated a man from his fellow men as leprosy did. And this was the man who Jesus touched. To a Jew, there would be no more amazing sentence in perhaps all of the New Testament than the simple statement, "And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched the leper." Sores running, foul odor emanating, digits missing, Jesus could have said with a word, "Be healed," couldn't he? We're going to see that in our next miracle, next week. But he chose to what, everybody? To touch. Loved one, if you've ever heard that old enemy rattling around in your own brain, what are you getting in your Bible for? Didn't you just see what you did last night? Is there something attached to us that is so loathsome to us that maybe like every other leper in that community gave into, they ran away from the Lord? This leper said, I know where my healing is. What if the leper really didn't want Jesus to change him? What are you talking about? I want to come into your presence, Lord. I want to lift up my hands and feel your touch, and I want to enjoy your fellowship. But Lord, don't touch me so that it changes me. If you're not careful, you can do that in a church. You can be where the Holy Spirit is and feel the sense and the presence of the Holy Spirit. And you think that you are connected to that. Is God allowed in your life to touch you and to change you? We picked that song this morning purposefully because it has a refrain. It's not written in the original lyrics of the song by Kevin Prosh. Years and years ago at a worship time, a friend of mine, Jeff Peterson, was playing that song. I was in the audience, and I was a lot like this leper. I'd come in the back door. Been 5 years since I'd been to church. And I'm not saying about anything about you guys sitting in the back row, but I sat in the back row. And his banner over me, I thought. Is punishment hate? Hate that guy, what a loser. What is it, you guys? Is banner over us is what? Then they got into the bridge. We can feel the love of God in this place. And I'm thinking to myself, 5 years not walking with the Lord. Feel the love of God in this place. We believe your goodness. We receive your grace. We delight ourselves at your table, O God. You do all things well. And they got to that part. We give you our lives. And I'm all, Just vamping on that note. Donk, donk, donk. Donk, donk, donk. Donk. We say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I'm all, no. Yes, Lord. And you know what? He got done and then he went around and he did it again. Yes, Lord. And then he did the yes, Lord thing for probably, I don't know, it was a day and a half, I think it was. And there I was. I was the leper. In the back door, knew where my healing was. Had to be Jesus. But still not willing to give up, you know, whatever that is. I know it was for me. It was bitterness and unforgiveness. Yes, Lord. Yes, my Lord, we say yes, Lord. And about, I don't know, the 20th time he went through it, it finally, I let it go. The supernatural presence of the Lord affected this coconut. I knew where my healing was. It was at the feet of Jesus. But you're not going to pry my fingers, Lord, off of this thing that I have a right to do and to hold on to. That's okay, Steve. Just come on anyway. Dunk-a-dunk-a-dunk. Ta-dunk-a-dunk. Yes, Lord. Shut up, Lord. Yes, Lord. I'm not listening. La-la-la-la. Yes, Lord. Because I ran into the supernatural presence of a tidal wave of His grace and His mercy and His forgiveness and this odorous, offensive leper God healed. Why else would we even ever want to come to a church if it's not seeking the supernatural presence and transformative power of a God who knows your situation and has a way through? Verse 3, and Jesus put out His hand and He touched him. And here's what He said. I am willing. Most of us don't have an intellectual issue with the God of all power able to heal. Here's our challenge. Is He willing to heal me? How many of you know what I'm talking about? Don't raise your hands. Honestly, we're not sure He's willing to heal me. Blessed sinner, Steve, He is. And if Jesus healed the leper, then why hasn't Jesus healed me? I'm going to show you three options and possibilities. Let's go to the book of James, chapter 4, in your New Testament. We're going to hit these rapid fire. Go to James, chapter 4. James, the half-brother of Jesus, he might give us a hint. And where's the supernatural for me? James, chapter 4, look at verse 1. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desire for pleasure? And you could put self. That war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder in your mind. You covet in your heart and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. And when you ask and you do not receive. Why? Because you're asking amiss. Because you really want it to spend on your pleasures. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? I'm not really against God. I'm just hanging out with my worldly friends. What does this verse say? Friendship with the world is enmity against God. Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of this world makes himself an enemy of God. Let's skip down to verse 7. Therefore submit to God. Let Him do the driving. Give Him the steering wheel. Resist the devil and he might flee. He'll what? He will flee from you. Draw near to God. Don't just sit on your sofa and hope God's grace and mercy come up your sidewalk, ring your doorbell, and come sit in your lap. Submit to God. Resist. Draw near, and He will draw near you. Cleanse your hands, sinners, and purify hearts. And then it goes on. Do you ask with wrong motivations?